Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this December 20th, 2022. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now, let's catch up with an old friend. We have Congressman Ron Kind on the phone with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James. Merry Christmas to you. And do give my best to Pam and wish her a Merry Christmas for me as well.
I definitely will, sir. And Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Hey, we're busy. Out in D.C., we are trying to get a final budget passed, keep the lights on, but more importantly, continue to make investments in the American people where we need help, including support for Ukraine in their battle against Russia right now, dealing with the supply chain problems that's been driving up inflation. But also, you know, a recommitment to access to higher education. I've been really focused on that throughout the years for need-based financial aid programs for lower-income students. And in my view, I think it's one of the most important and smartest investments we can make as a nation in our youth, making sure they have the skills they need to succeed in life.
It turns out they are the future. So I couldn't agree with you more, sir. I feel like we definitely should be putting focus on that, and appreciate you bringing up the war in Ukraine with Russia. That's an important point to make up too. And I'm so thankful to hear you're active, you're busy doing these things, especially for those that may not know out there, you are looking to be wrapping up your career pretty soon here. Is that correct?
I am. You know, it's been 26 years. It's been unbelievable, an honor of my life, but Tawny and I never meant for it to be the honor for our entire life, so we're really looking forward to the next chapter, but those 26 years went fast, you know, and it's been fun representing a wonderful area. I happen to think it's the most beautiful congressional district in the nation, with the Driftless area, all the rolling hills and coulees, and it's been an honor representing Portage and Wood and Adams and Juneau County, too, especially during some trying economic times when you had the shutdown of the paper mill, the huge devastating impact that had on countless families in the area, the regional economy. And I just wish there were better programs that we could tap into in order to help economically distressed communities that have a big employer like that that decides to change and go out of business so we can get them back on their feet again with reinvestment, with economic development, and good-paying jobs. I've sponsored a federal bill that would have the federal government partner with state and local entities in order to do that, and we're still trying to get that implemented.
Sir, you mentioned that you and your wife, kind of made this decision together for you to get into the politics.
Yeah.
And never intended for it to last this long. But I would, if you don't mind, like to rewind for a second to how this all began. What was that conversation like? What was it like those early days of even just talking about this before you even started to run for office?
Well, how much time do you have to hear the praise of my wife, Tawny? You know, she's an unbelievable partner in this. I don't know how she did it. You're going to make me tear up here. I mean, our kids were born into this. Johnny, our oldest son, was born a few days before my first primary back in 1996. So this is the only life he's known. And then Matt, who's currently an infantry commander in the Marine Corps, was born 2 years later. And so she had to raise these boys in Wisconsin while I'm running back and forth to Washington every week or traveling around the 19 counties that I represent, and she was unbelievable. And the countless dairy breakfasts and parades and county fairs and meetings that we did as a family, try to keep it fun for the kids too. You look back on it and you wonder, how the heck did we do that? And there's no way I could have without Tawny. But if someone, you know, going way back, James, if someone had told me as a kid growing up on the north side of La Crosse, which was considered the wrong side of the railroad tracks back then, the son of a telephone repairman, my mom stayed at home to raise us kids and then went back to work in the La Crosse school district later on, that I'd one day be serving in the U.S. Congress, I would have thought they were crazy. I thought that was the place where, you know, those who are politically connected or wealthy, you know, the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, that's where they go, and that's what they do, not a poor kid from the north side of La Crosse. But it just shows you that the opportunity for public service is still there. I really do believe it. Although there's too much influence of money and these powerful special interest groups in the political realm today. And we decided to look at it as a couple, and I wanted to try to make a difference for the people, for the area that I grew up in, where I was born and raised. Tawny was born and raised too here. We were planning on raising our family here and see if we could make a meaningful difference. And that really what's led to the decision to run for Congress and for us to serve so long.
In 27 years, there is such an endless list of things that you have accomplished, sir, and going over them this past weekend, the week before, just prepping for this interview, I had no idea where to start and begin. So I can imagine asking you, what are some of the accomplishments you are most proud of? What are some of the moments you are most proud of politically?
You know, James, instead of rattling off legislation that I sponsored and we got passed into law, I think the key to my success was I was one of the most bipartisan members of Congress during my entire time, not afraid to reach across the aisle, get to know my Republican colleagues, develop that familiarity and trust, which is necessary for a democracy to work. And then through that, find the common ground that you can work on together. So not only was I one of the most bipartisan members, but one of the most effective members in getting legislation done. And my advice to new members going in, that if you find yourself in the minority and you have a good idea, find a Republican you can partner with or a Democrat, and then put their name ahead of yours if they're in the majority. Because it makes it go a lot easier and a lot smoother if the majority is carrying the bill rather than a member of the minority party. And it just shows you still can be effective no matter what the makeup of the Congress might be. But I think the proudest moment I've had as a member of Congress wasn't even about a piece of legislation. It was my ability, James, to, on behalf of the people back home, go and visit our troops in the field, whether it was five times in Iraq, six times in Afghanistan. I even went to Kosovo during the height of the air campaign. And just seeing the job that our men and women in uniform do for us every day, it's amazing. It's the best our country has to offer. They're well-trained. They're well-motivated. And they do an amazing job for us to secure our freedom, but also to advance the cause of peace globally. And we send them to these faraway places with strange names, with weird histories, centuries of conflict, and we ask them to do very dangerous and impossible jobs, and they do. And it's just so inspiring. And I wish every American had a chance to see what I did throughout the course of my career in visiting our troops in the field, but also recognizing that many of them ultimately come home with special needs, things that need to be taken care of physically or mentally. And it's so important that we as a nation live up to that promise to our veterans, that they're well taken care of when they do come home, given the tremendous sacrifice that they made on our behalf. And from that, probably one of the prouder legislative accomplishments I had, James, was creating the Veterans History Project, where we try to go out and interview the veterans in our life and just have them talk about what it was like to serve our nation. And then I sent a copy of that interview to the Library of Congress, where we're archiving all these veteran stories. And I'm proud to say we have about 120,000 of them collected. We even were able to capture a couple World War I vets before they passed away when I first created the program, and then some World War II vets. And now we're focusing on the Vietnam vets who are getting up there in age and starting to pass away. But it's such an important part of American history that needs to be preserved, their service, their sacrifice, so future generations never forget what came before them. And so I'm proud I was able to stand up that program and trying to encourage more people back home, especially family members, to have that conversation across the kitchen table with their family or friends or neighbors and just have them talk about what it was like to serve our nation and capture those stories for immortality, really.
Very well said, and certainly appreciate the idea of going and not just sitting here on our shores and talking about these things and saying these things, but literally going over there to these fields, to these places where they are, and you know, being able to make eye contact, being able to do things literally right there with them, sharing the same air as them while they're over there. That goes a long way, sir. As far as favorite memories outside of politics, is there some things that you were able to be a part of or able to experience or see that necessarily didn't have to do with politics, but they, you know, because of the position you're in, were able to experience or achieve or see?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. And I'll tell you what inspired me, what made me get up in the morning and want to work especially hard for the people back home, is like getting out into the communities and getting to meet people, especially during tough times when you've got a paper mill that shuts down, we've got a flooding and a natural disaster in a community that just knocked people on their backs, and seeing how our area rallies. And you see that time and time again, that It doesn't matter, you know, what your political allegiance might be or what your religion or what your ethnicity might be. When people see that there's a need out there, I've seen it time and again, willingness to stand up and help their fellow neighbor and try to make life a little bit easier for them. And that's, again, one of the reasons why I've been blessed to represent such a great congressional district that we have, getting out and into these communities and getting to know the people and seeing how it all works and the challenges that they face and what we have to try to overcome by working together. Now, the flip side of your earlier question about what I'm proud about, what have I been disappointed, what I wish we could have done? I wish we could have done a better job when it comes to managing budget deficits, fiscal responsibility. You know, when I first came to Congress, I was one of the strongest supporters of pay-as-you-go budgeting rules to help bring things into balance. And we actually had 4 years of surpluses where we were paying down the national debt rather than adding to it. But both parties like their spending programs. You know, both parties like their tax cuts that aren't paid for. And all this just accumulates deficits and debt for future generations. And we have to get better at that. Healthcare is still too expensive. There are ways of bringing that cost down and making it more affordable. I'm glad we finally got price negotiation under Medicare for prescription drugs. That was long overdue, and we finally got that accomplished in the Inflation Reduction Act that passed just a couple of months ago. And I wish we could have done more to help our struggling family farmers. I mean, we've lost so many of them over the decades, the bankruptcy, not being able to hang in there, and they're vital for our food security system as a nation. So there's more that we can and should be doing to support our family farmers and the food production system that unfortunately too many take for granted. So those are, you know, some of the things I wish I could have made better progress on. And at this stage, when I'm looking at leaving, there's a bit of an emptiness. I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have got more accomplished, but I suspect that's probably inevitable given how Congress is made up and how slow things operate there and how difficult it is to make real change stick.
And you could probably do the job for another 30 years and still be feeling that way. I think that's an understandable, a relatable feeling. But also, not that I wish this on you, I'm kind of in some ways happy to hear that from you, sir, because this is what we ask out of our representatives, to always be shooting for more, always to be trying for more. I don't believe there's any representative in the union that can just sit back and say, well, my job's done. Like, I don't think anybody can do that. There's always work to be done, and that is encouraging. As much as I don't wish that on you, I want you to be able to enjoy retirement and everything. There is something about hearing that kind of does, I will say, you know, bring a smile to my face in some ways, just because that's the heart that you have and appreciate that. And we are. Go ahead.
And it reminds me, James, that of this basic point, is that all us representatives are replaceable from the president on down. And that's kind of the enduring thing about our democracy, is that you have to step aside and let someone else take the reins and take a run at it. And there's always going to be unfinished business. You're right in that regard. But if I had one note of caution as I leave in retrospect, looking at my years in Congress, it's this basic fact. Is our democracy, as great as it is still very fragile. And each generation has to recommit to that idea of self-government, of electing representatives to represent us and to strengthen those democratic institutions that make it work, you know, co-equal branches of government, to keep an eye on those branches so that everyone's playing by the same rules, independence of the judiciary so that they can call the balls and the strike fairly, the independence of the media, you guys, being able to speak truth to power and ask the tough questions and be able to call people out. All this is vital to a functioning democracy, but in recent years, I think we're losing perspective a little bit, including, you know, the importance of the sanctity of the ballot box with this big lie about election fraud, which is a poison that's affecting our politics today. And when people start losing confidence that their vote's going to count and matter, that's when democracies crumble. And I have a lot of confidence that our clerks that are in charge of running these elections do an incredible job. And they are professional, and they make sure that there isn't fraud, that the ballots are counted accurately. But we've had certain voices recently to cast doubt on that, and that will weaken our democracy. I mean, you have to have the ability for the peaceful transfer of power in our government, and that's been challenged in recent years. And I hope we can put that behind us, but I think that threat still exists even today, and we need to remind ourselves that what truly makes America exceptional is our ability to peacefully transfer power from election to election. And a lot of countries can't say that. That's one of the reasons they look up to us so much and admire our system, is because of our ability to do that.
Speaking with Representative Congressman Ron Kind right now, and sir, we haven't talked in years, but this is the second time now you have answered the question before I even got a chance to ask it. So our chemistry is still there. We're still got that chemistry going. Because I wanted to ask you about that. As you're leaving, looking at the future of politics and so much of that, and I think especially here in Wisconsin, we have a bit of, I don't want to say an advantage, but a little bit of a insight into this. Because for a long time, really, my whole time living in this state, Wisconsin has been considered in many ways a purple state. You talked earlier about, you know, if you had advice to anybody reaching across the aisle, you yourself have been known as a person who has done this. It's one of the things that is a part of your legacy of this, of your career. So when you look at the future of politics going forward, do you think that we're getting closer and closer to a day where the R, the D in front of your name may not be, it may just be more of, you're just a representative. It's not so much a party system as it is just being you and just being out there representing, you know, your constituents. I wonder about that.
I wish there was more independence of thought. But unfortunately, our politics has gotten too tribal. It's too team-oriented, where as long as you're part of the same team, then it doesn't matter what you do or what the party ultimately does. And the other side is viewed not just as the opposing party, but as the enemy that has to be destroyed. And again, that's one of those dangerous things that's developed in our democracy. Listen, politics has always been a contact sport, and it's pretty rough, and the debates can be pretty heated. And that's all fair game. But when things that normally would disqualify people in the past based on their behavior no longer, just because they happen to be a Democrat or a Republican, that's wrong. And we need to have higher standards of accountability for all of our elected representatives. So if they do fall short, then perhaps they shouldn't have the honor of representing the rest of us. But it's become very hyper-partisan, very polarized because of it. You know, redistricting doesn't help with these gerrymandered districts where it's overwhelmingly Democratic or Republican. I've been fortunate to represent a congressional district that's still by and large 50-50. And I wish we had all congressional districts that way, instead of overwhelmingly R or D, because there's no incentive then for those representatives to reach across the aisle and try to work in a bipartisan fashion, because they won't get rewarded for doing that by their constituents back home. So we've got that challenge to overcome, James, and I hope someone can figure that out. Lord knows I tried by leading by example, by trying to be respectful and civil, especially to those who disagree with me, and listen to them. And that's the last point I would make, is our representatives, if there's one criteria that they all need to have, it's good listening skills. It's being able to listen to people, especially people who disagree with you, because many of them have important points that you can learn from and ideas that you can move forward on. And we need a lot more of that these days in politics.
With the rise of people choosing party over people, do you think we're getting closer and closer to a day where there will be ranked choice voting more common?
Yeah, you know, those states that have moved forward, it seems to be working pretty well. And that was a choice of the people to make through referendums. And that would, I think, make it more feasible for people to offer different perspectives rather than just sole allegiance to the party label. For instance. So anything that can kind of break down that intense partisanship and polarization, I think we need to be looking at that as a democracy. Because again, it just sets up these areas of conflict and even potential warfare, that if all that matters is your side winning and all that matters is the other side being defeated and to be viewed as the enemy, well, then we're in a very dangerous spot as a democracy. I've always told people, James, I approach my job as a representative the same way I do back home. If I came home one night and told Tawny, I've got this great new idea on how decisions are going to be made in the family, it's going to be my way or no way at all, she'd throw me out on my keister. She wouldn't tolerate that for a second, because it's got to be a partnership and give and take and compromise. And that's true for a democracy. If we lose that ability to compromise with each other, well, then our democracy really is in peril.
I did want to also get your opinion on take it another route and on a positive note. And as you're leaving, seeing this influx of young people getting involved in politics, we've certainly seen the number of young people voting, but I mean actually getting their hands in the dirt. You look at like a Maxwell Frost down in Florida being the first Gen Zer elected to Congress, these sorts of things. Do you find a lot of hope in that? Do you see that as maybe the new way that, you know, we're instead of seeing people in their 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s running for office, we're going to see more people in their 20s, 30s running for office?
Yeah, I sure do, because I'm on campuses a lot. I represent 6 of the 11 state universities in Wisconsin, 4 of the tech schools and their campuses that are spread out. And the younger generation really is inspiring. I mean, they understand where the direction of the global economy is going, where our communities need help. And a lot of them, as you pointed out, are willing to step up and help out. In fact, we just made that decision in the Democratic caucus in Washington, where we had 3 of our leaders who are in their 80s who all stepped down for the next generation to take over. And now we have a young group of Democratic leaders stepping in and assuming those leadership roles. And that's what keeps the blood circulating in a democracy. It's not good that you've had people there indefinitely growing old, perhaps losing touch with what's happening with the modern economy, the modern culture. And I, in many ways, find the younger generation just out ahead of us policymakers in so many ways. When it comes to acceptance of all people, based, you know, regardless of their ethnicity, their race, when it comes to the challenge we face with climate change, for instance, and the steps we need to do working together to address that existential threat, I mean, the younger generation is out there already, I think, in many ways, many steps ahead of the policymakers and where we need to go with these decisions.
What is, you touched on this a little bit earlier, what's next for you and yours? What do you have lined up?
You know, I haven't made any decisions yet. You know, the White House had reached out to me about a couple of assignments that they need some help on, and I may explore that as a way of continuing to serve. But, you know, home is back here in Wisconsin. Tawny and I aren't going anywhere. We're looking forward to that next chapter, figuring out new ways of getting involved in our community and helping out where we can. So it's a very exciting time, you know, for us. And you can imagine my wife has a pretty decent bucket list of things that she wants to do now that I won't be subject to the congressional calendar or having to run around 19 counties as much as I have over 26 years. So that'll be fun.
If there was anything you've been kind of pushing back, like, oh, no, I'll get it to it when I retire, you know, and like hopefully she will forget about it. She did forget. She's still got that list. She's
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've been big backpacking family ever since the kids were little. We love getting to national parks and doing some backpacking there in the backcountry. I've been co-chairing the National Park Caucus, and so we'll look forward to hopefully being able to do more of that in our future while we still can.
As we let you go here, sir, in what could be, the last time you joined us here at WFHR, I did want to just share a quick memory with the audience here. The Congressman joined us some years back when Carl and I were doing the morning show. Mm-hmm. And I had never, you know, interviewed anybody, period, before, let alone a congressman. And I have one of the best journalists, if not the best in this area, certainly the best in this area, one of the best in this state in the history of this state, and Carl Hilke right next to me. So the Carl, yeah. You take the head. You go ahead and take this, and I'll just sit back and push the buttons. And Carl was not going to have that. Carl was like, no, James, you have an opportunity here. You need to ask him a question. You need to do that. So there was a point where we're talking to you, and Carl asks a great question. You answer it, and then he pulls back from the microphone, basically putting me on the spot, like I have to fill the I have to fill the air. And I ask you a question. You could not have been more giving with your time and your answer and kinder to me. And I did not know that eventually I would be doing this show, Morning Magazine, and interviewing people on a daily basis and everything. And thanks to Carl and yourself, I feel like I was able to get transition into this job so much better. I appreciate that from you, sir, and appreciate all the years of you joining us here on the station. From Carl, from Pam, from all of us here at WFHR, we greatly appreciate what you've done for our state and wish you nothing but the best in retirement.
Well, James, Carl was the best. He was the pro's pro, wasn't he? A great one to learn from, but you weren't bad either. And I always enjoyed coming into the studio and chatting with you guys because you knew everything that was going on in the local area. So I was able to get feedback from you, too, about what was happening in the community. And it's so important that our local media has a chance of succeeding and thriving in today's world. I know the large conglomerates are starting to take control, and you've had more consolidation with media, whether it's radio or TV or newspapers, but I think it's essential for a democracy that you local guys have a voice and are able to report the local content to keep people informed too. Otherwise, we're going to miss a lot, and that would be unfortunate.
Well said, as always, and greatly appreciate the time. Enjoy knocking things off that bucket list, sir. We wish you and yours the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, James. You too. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas. Take care. And a big thank you again to Congressman Ron Kind for joining us here on WFHR's Morning Magazine. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with our friends from the United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties coming up right here on WFHR.